locals are getting restless. Of course, we're talking about the Dallas Cowboy fans. They have had it. They are fed up, and they are letting Jerry Jones know about it, Pearl. And this is back-to-back years when the Dallas Cowboys owner slash GM slash, you know, mouthpiece has just been straight up booed at his own training camp. You know, the blind love for Jerry, that faded a long time ago, and now I think it's going the opposite way, where fans are starting to get a little aggressive.
Did they love, was there blind love for Jerry? I can't remember. You know, Jerry's always been bigger than, he's like a politician. You don't really feel loyalty to Jerry necessarily. But you're right. The approval rating, if they did it like a politician, would be what, 17% right now in Dallas?
Got to be rock bottom. Yeah. So here is just a little of, if you want to take our word for it. Here are Cowboys fans as a training camp is happening, and there's like a microphone set up, like a little mini stage, and a lot of different people get up and talk to the fans. I've never seen anything like that before, and I'm sure the Cowboys have been doing this forever. And Jerry got up there, and the fans just want Micah paid, and they started to boo.
I was shocked last year.
Yeah, so he's getting jeered as he's trying to, you know, make a statement, basically.
Are you kidding me?
Now, he said the boos were worse last year when he was in this contract situation with CeeDee Lamb. Bottom line is, now it's back-to-back seasons where, you know, again, he's getting criticized. And then the funny part is they signed Jake Ferguson to this deal yesterday, the tight end. Now, it's not nearly as big as what Micah Parsons is going to get. The guaranteed money is $30 million or thereabouts. It's not anything. But it's just like, oh, they can do deals early, just not the complicated
ones. To play devil's advocate on that, Jake Ferguson became the seventh highest paid tight end. If Micah Parsons wanted to become the second highest paid defensive end, I'm sure the Cowboys were rushed to the room.
Well, but the Cowboys also have said publicly, we will make him the highest paid non-quarterback. That goes against negotiating 101. I don't know why they do stuff like that.
Bet you they're arguing over years. But I'm sure Jake Ferguson, I've seen, is a really good young tight end. Everyone loves this deal. They're like, wow, they got him a lot of cost certainty when tight ends are getting paid through the roof this summer, and they got him for a good deal. I'm sure Micah Parsons is asking for the sun and the moon. Is there any doubt
that he wants? Why wouldn't he? You know,
honestly, we say that, and the Cowboys are going to overpay him. We're going to say, why the Cowboys pay all that money to him?
Michael,
that's how it works
Parsons.
Out. Because he should have done it earlier, that which you always say.
Definitely. But here, when Jerry Jones is saying things like this about Micah Parsons, that he's the most talented player he's had with the Cowboys.
I think Micah's as talented, maybe the most talented player we've had. And Deion, of course, had extraordinary talent. But Micah is very talented, and he is very smart. And so all of that makes a great asset for the Cowboys.
Right.
I don't know his name.
So, you know, he might be asking for the sun and the moon and the stars when someone's saying things like that publicly.
Well, I mean, listen, his agent, David Mulugeta, got Deshaun Watson 5 years, $222 million guaranteed. He will ask for crazy stuff and get it. So the Cowboys obviously can't do that kind of deal with Micah. Everyone's saying, like, maybe it's a deal that they shouldn't do. I mean, honestly, like, if he's asking for $200 million guaranteed, I could see Jerry and more importantly, Will McClay, who's probably running the team, saying, nah, I don't think so.
So here's a bigger question. I think most people believe that the Micah Parsons deal will get done. It'll happen the 11th hour. We've all been here before. Even Dak Prescott said, you know, it's better off that he's not practicing, all of that stuff. So he's there, but he's in, and I guess he was practicing at one point, but I don't know what's going on. Here's the bigger question about the Cowboys. You heard the fans booing Jerry. It's the second year in a row, just not that popular right now. Are we getting to a world where the Cowboys are not this America's team slam dunk, where they become a secondary franchise because they have not won a Super Bowl since 95? They've been back to the NFC Championship game since 95. You know, the Cowboys had two very well-placed dynasties that happened in the 70s and the 90s that got two generations of football fans super invested because it's about the winning. So now you see teams like Kansas City who have extremely high ratings when they play in prime time, approaching Cowboys level. You gotta win at some point. Ani Bose was the one who told us that.
Yeah, with the cheat code. You know who their star player is dating.
Yeah, I get it, but you know, you get them in the door, Pearl, and then you keep them there with the Super Bowl appearances. The Swifties, you know, I don't think they're just going to – I don't think that the Kansas City Chiefs TV ratings are just going to plummet once Kelce retires.
I do. I mean, I think they definitely take a dip.
Even if they're still winning with Mahomes and Andy Reid?
Yes. I know people are watching that team in part because of Taylor Swift. But the Cowboys, we've been asking this question, not you necessarily, since 2010. When are people going to get sick?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what happens, though. Yeah. They keep putting out this product that has been really disappointing, even in 12-win seasons, to lose in the playoffs the way they have. And to be honest, the wins don't register. But like,
it never matters, though. They will still be America's team, even with a down year or two. I think they're way stickier than people realize.
But down year or two, they haven't won a Super Bowl in 20 years now.
And? No, it's way longer. Do your math.
Oh, I'm sorry, 30. Oh, no. oh, no. I do this off of my own age.
And so has it affected their popularity at all?
I think it's starting to.
I don't think so. I'll bet you their ratings are through the roof this year.
But they also get the benefit of always having that 4 o'clock primetime spot, you know, and I think the networks are also kind of, you know, they don't get buried much in a 1 o'clock Eastern, but
I don't know. When they do, it's ridiculous because everybody wants to watch them. I think they're way stickier than I think you think they are because they're the Cowboys. They're interesting, even if they are not that great.
You know, to be honest, I don't find this interesting anymore because it's so, like, clockwork. It's rote. You know, you did this with Dak Prescott. You're doing it with CeeDee Lamb. You know, you did it with Dak Prescott twice. You're doing this with CeeDee Lamb. Now it's Micah Parsons. It's this belabored contract negotiations that I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze here of, like, the extra press that they get from this.
Did you think they were interesting when Jason Garrett was running the ship? Was that interesting to you?
Romo was interesting in his own right.
Oh, get out of here.
Romo was interesting in a Rory McIlroy without the major championships kind of way. Would he screw it up was, like, a very interesting. I was watching Romo almost to see, like, would he do it? Like, actually win, or would some huge disaster calamity happen? There was a boom or bust factor with Romo that I thought was interesting.
He was dating Jessica Simpson, which was a massive deal back then.
That was 13 years ago, and they're still the most popular team. It can't be because of Tony Romo.
No, but it wasn't about Jason Garrett. Like, I thought Romo was the interesting thing there. To me, Dak's not very interesting.
So, I mean, they had five. I just pointed, there's been a long time where Garrett and Prescott were together, and interest did not fall off, and they weren't great.
So I think maybe the beginning of Prescott's career was kind of interesting because he was a fourth-round pick, right, out of Mississippi State. It's not exactly quarterback factory, and he got the opportunity because Romo had a back injury, and those rookies came on, one rookie of the year, paired him with Ezekiel Elliott. So that was kind of and Elliott was a huge star, obviously, with Ohio State. So I think the beginning of Dak's career was interesting. The last 5-6 years... Not really.
And still, they're getting 40 million. They're getting some of the highest regular season ratings of all time. And other teams are in similar spots and not getting those ratings. So you can't just say it's the place. I mean, they are outrating everybody despite all that.
Well, but here's the thing about the NFL. They outrate everything all the time.
But, like, the Cowboys outrate every other team.
I don't know. I feel like you could put any team up there, you're going to get a huge rating. Like,
put them in the same spot as other teams. Again, it's proven they will outrate that other team by probably 20%.
Whoever you put in primetime windows, I think that you get the NFL, like, delivers. Now
they blow other teams away in primetime.
Oh, okay.
They do. I would just say I'm looking at the numbers from last year. Like, they have huge ratings in the same spots that other teams. Chiefs are catching up for sure, but they have huge rating in spots where other teams do not have the same rating.
Okay, but is the NFL such a behemoth now that, yeah, maybe it can't be Titans-Jags, no offense to those fan bases. It can't be Titans-Jags, but you put the Packers, you put the, the Chiefs, the Bills and the Ravens get huge, you know, get tons of primetime games. Like, there are clearly other franchises. The Steelers, people tune into.
Four of the top five most watched games last year were Chiefs games. That didn't
Right. What about regular season?
That's the regular season.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about.
These are all regular season games.
Got it. I didn't know which one.
Sorry, these are the first four regular season games. First 4 weeks. No, sorry, I'm right. These are the regular season games, top four. It just happens to be weeks 1, 2, 3. Chiefs, Baltimore was first, then Bengals, Chiefs was second, Cowboys, Ravens, week 3 was third, and then Chiefs, 49ers was fourth.
I don't know. Are the Cowboys in danger of becoming a secondary team? Maybe you could say finally becoming a second. And, you know, is it just the Taylor Swift factor with the Chiefs? I don't necessarily think so. I get what you're saying. She definitely brought an audience, no doubt. I mean, the NFL is giving her free publicity. They realize her strength, but I don't know.
This game is going to be far from mid.
I do feel like, you know, where the future goes is where the kids go, and I would be curious where the kids are on the Cowboys, because I think right now, you know, we know Bogus' son Jake, massive, Josh Allen fan.
Right.
There are a lot of young kids who love watching Josh Allen, love watching Patrick Mahomes.
Lamar Jackson.
I don't know if young children who will eventually become massive NFL fans are going to be watching TVs, going to stadiums, going to bars. I don't know if they're growing up idolizing these Cowboys.
But
I don't know how.
I don't understand. 1995 was a long time ago. Where do the young fans come from now?
Well, like this generation. Oh.
Yeah, but you guys are millennials?
Those kids,
like, why
those
were you
kids
guys?
They're millennials. So there are millennials who their parents were like, probably maybe taking them to their first Cowboys game. They're watching Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith, or at least it's not as far off for them as it will be for the people that are going to be maybe high schools right now or again in middle school. Those people will eventually grow up.
But that was 30 years ago. I would have thought I would have thought the audience already died off a little bit.
Well, you know, maybe it takes
signs,
a minute.
I think there's also signs showing that they are, right? I mean, the empty bleachers at Oxnard, booing Jerry Jones. Again, the Chiefs being the team that was basically most watched last year. I think the signs are showing that there's some cracks here.
It just takes a while, you know? I do think that. And it's, you know, Pearl, you always talk about, do you root for teams? Do you root for star players? Right.
I've done this thing before where in 2015, everyone's like, well, the Cowboys star is falling. In 2020 is the Cowboys star falling. They haven't won anything in 30 years and they're still America's team. I would bet you in 10 years, they're still the highest rated team.
I don't know. I don't think so. 888-710-4ISN, not unless something changes. 888-710-4476. But that, I mean, actually being a factor. You know, what other team can enjoy that type of mediocrity and still have the fan base?
And they've done it for 30 years.
And also, what happens when Jerry really does take a step
back? Well,
that
is 82. Interesting. That's interesting. If there's no Jerry, maybe they lose a little bit. I think something turned the corner. You know, because they were terrible for a long time. Remember, like, Chad Hutchinson was their starter? And then all of a sudden, boom, maybe it was Romo, maybe whatever. And it's just not slowing down to me.
You know what I think is actually keeping them relevant, to be honest? I think watching the Cowboys suffer is an embarrassment ritual that people actually like to see.
Mm.
And that is going to leave, I think, when Jerry Jones does step back.
Could be.
I think people like to see this, like, you know, cocky, overconfident billionaire who, you know, thinks he runs the world, lose every
Get
Sunday.
Get taken down
a peg. Like to see that.
Especially because,
you know,
it's his fault. Most people would blame him.
Yeah, it's like watching Vince McMahon get Stone Cold Stunnered in 98. Like, people like to see this. But when he's gone and it becomes a much more muted front office with Steven or you know, Charlotte, whoever's running the team, are you still going to be like, oh, I can't wait to see the Cowboys get there? It's like, I don't know if you have the same emotions with
but
that.
But it's kind of sticky, though. Like, Duke, they don't even have to be like real threats to win the title. I still think they're going to be the one team to watch in college basketball.
Sure, but things are cyclical. Like, we mentioned it. Like, how many college football programs that we thought were the evil empire is that, you know?
Yeah, but until Notre Dame always gets the highest ratings, and they haven't won anything in 30 years either.
Well, they also have the benefit of their own television network basically.
And that television network exists because there's so much demand to watch.
But they also aren't taking as much money as they would if they joined the conference, which I think is something, too. Like, they're not. If they would have joined the conference, they would have more revenue. Like, the deal they have with NBC, it gives them exclusivity, but it's not like they're bringing in the most revenue in that kind of deal. So you can go back and forth, right? Like, Alabama, we talked about it all the time.
Yeah.
Is Alabama supplanted Notre Dame as the program? And you always say they have. That was not the case 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago. Things change.
Same with Nebraska, right? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Are we entering a world where the Cowboys are a secondary franchise? Probably would have to be post-Jerry. He still has a way of commanding a lot of attention.
Well, just shut up and let me answer.
888-710-4476. Okay, coming up, let's check in on our favorite quarterback. What do you have to say about his new bride? About a former legend calling him out? And also, his bathroom habits. All of that comes your way next.
All right, we're back on Maggie and Perloff. Huge shout out, by the way, to our guy Kyle Brandt, NFL Network, who interviewed Aaron Rodgers and was wearing an awesome throwback Steelers bus uniform.
Yeah.
Why journalists are allowed to wear team jerseys. I mean, Kyle Brandt could get away with it because he's awesome. It was a lot of fun to see. And Aaron Rodgers definitely had some interesting things to say at camp. He looks very relaxed and, as usual, kind of unfiltered.
Yeah, you know, and Kyle sat down with him and first talked about a lot of things, obviously, because it's Rodgers. But there were some comments that Terry Bradshaw had made not too long ago, Pearl, on a podcast where he did not think it was a smart move for the Steelers to bring Rodgers in. Said he should just go eat bark somewhere. So here's Rodgers responding to those comments.
Well, I whisper to the gods every single day.
Damn right.
I've known Terry for a long time, okay. being a part of Fox. Terry's a legend. He's an absolute legend. He won 4 Super Bowls. He's had a legendary career in the media. But Terry, like a lot of people, doesn't know me.
Right. Roger saying that Bradshaw has,
so you don't know me.
Has preconceived notions and would like to get to know Bradshaw better.
He's got an idea of what he thinks about me based on what I've done, the documentary, what I've said, mm-hmm. Darkness Retreat, whatever the hell you want to talk mm-hmm. about. I'd love to get to know Terry on a deeper level. And I feel like if he gave me a chance to get to know him, then we'd have a good friendship.
I said, you don't know me. And he said, you don't know me. And then I said, exactly. Mm-hmm.
I mean, how dare Terry Bradshaw have an opinion of Aaron Rodgers based on the things he says and the things he does?
No.
That's it? Just the things I say and do? The documentary? Just the things I say and do?
He's
of course, Rodgers. Like, Rodgers talks into a microphone more than you and I, who do this for a living.
Oh,
what else are you supposed to judge him on? He puts so much of himself out there. He said, don't judge me by what I say and what I do. Okay, what? Love. Your favorite color? How are we supposed to judge you?
I'm actually a Team Rodgers. You don't know the first thing about Aaron Rodgers. Based on some curated Netflix documentary, you think you know these people?
Carl, I'm not claiming I know him, but he's out there more than anybody. So it's not like he's some recluse that we're filling in the gaps here. He fills them in for us.
I kind of agree with Aaron on this. Like, yeah, you really don't know the first thing about Aaron Rodgers. I mean, honestly, like, I have no idea what he's like away from a camera.
But then whose fault is that? He has spent so much of his life trying to tell us how misunderstood he is by telling us everything about himself.
But most of these athletes, we really don't know. I thought Deshaun Watson was like Mother Teresa.
But he didn't have a documentary that showed him to ayahuasca.
You could have had that documentary. You still wouldn't know. But like, yeah, there's still, I think Roger's point is valid. Like, Terry doesn't really know him. You know, we don't really know
Aaron
Rodgers.
Okay, but you can't be that surprised when people are going to form an opinion about you when you do this much. It's an hour once a week on McAfee where he talks about every conspiracy theory under the sun. And then a whole Netflix documentary that, you know, it's like saying you were misquoted in your own autobiography, like Charles Barkley. Like, you did this. You put it out there. You co-signed it. Like, this is what you want to put out in the world, and people are going to judge you off of
it. But I kind of think all public figures, like, we really don't know who they are. I kind of agree. Even with all that, I still think we don't know the slightest thing about Aaron Rodgers. I don't think we know what it's like the people in his life know Aaron Rodgers. I think they know something totally different. I'm not even saying better. It could be way worse. But generally, no, I agree with Rodgers a little bit. Like, Terry definitely doesn't know him.
Let's move on, because Rodgers also talked about Britney with an I. This is his secret wedding that he had to, all we know is it's Britney. He's very thankful to have her in his life.
When you meet the right one and you're with the right one, your whole world changes in a second. And to have that person that unconditionally loves you behind the scenes, there's no better feeling in the world. And I got the most incredible wife. I just really love her, and I'm so thankful to have her by my side at the end.
Big shout out to all the women backing up the fellas.
Oh, pretty amazing there.
Yeah, you know him so well, you don't even know what his wife looks like.
Nobody does.
Serendipitous.
He says with Britney by his side, he can accomplish anything.
When you have that stability and that rock behind you at the house, you feel like you can do anything.
You know, I live kind of a quiet life.
Here's a question. Do you think Aaron Rodgers and Britney with an I have a prenup? We'll call back from a conversation we had an hour ago.
I don't even know if they're really married, let alone if they have a prenup. I'm being serious. Like, there is always, is the marriage like the immunized line? Like, that's a theory out there that his, we're married, just like he was immunized from COVID. Like, I think people have been parsing the language around that. Like, do you think he has a marriage certificate from a court?
Well, I assume that TMZ would have gotten their hands on that already. And we would have had her first name or last name. I don't know. Because that stuff could leak. If you're down at the county clerk's office in Malibu and someone shows up from TMZ, or you send it to TMZ for $100. I mean, these people don't get paid very much for leaking that kind of stuff. Last thing for you, Rodgers and DK Metcalf are roommates in Latrobe, and they have a, like, gentleman's agreement, if you will, because the toilet is very loud, that if you go number one anytime after 9:30 p.m., just if it's yellow, let him know.
David, joining dorm rooms with a bathroom in between is what I've come to understand. And that makes sense because elite athletes really have to focus on sleep.
Mm-hmm.
This is rock solid. And I agree with that as a man. Like, I could,
not worth it.
No. You definitely don't flush that toilet. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
My wife and I have that rule.
Yellow, let him mellow?
No, in the middle of the night, do not flush the toilet because we have a bathroom that's right next to our bed.
Yes.
Is that way too much information? Like, because that's a.
Yes.
That was too much information, or you understand that?
No, too much information.
But 3 in the morning, like, if you have a bathroom in your bedroom, like, that's pretty...
It's rude.
It's a little selfish.
I think so, too. Palaces, huh?
It's an in-suite bathroom? No, but even when we didn't have a bathroom in our bedroom, but here's what changes all of this, I think. Once I got pregnant, you got to pee, like, every 5 seconds. So that's when I started just being like, I'm up 16 times a night. I can't just be flushing the toilet every single time. No one would ever sleep.
Check your prostate.
So,
and it's funny because Perloff asked if I had a prostate. I do not.
Do you guys wake up when your partner wakes up? Like every time? Or can you sneak off?
I'm a pretty heavy sleeper. So a lot has to happen to really disrupt me.
I think I can sleep through it. Not a toilet flushing. That would definitely wake you up.
I would never not flush my toilet.
And you can't turn the lights on. That's obvious, right? That's rule number one.
Well, I do in the morning.
No. Oh, I know. How do you do it?
In the bathroom. Only the bathroom.
Man, that has been a huge battle in the Perloff household.
The morning show is not good for your marriage.
No. Partners do not like the 4 o'clock shower. Not at all.
No. Bogus, you've been doing the shift for 15 years?
I get up and leave my bedroom. I go to a different bathroom shower and everything like that. All my clothes are laid out the night before. So my only annoyance is my alarm. So too many snoozes, I can sometimes get an elbow if I don't get out of bed fast enough. Because my wife can survive one or two alarms going off, but not the third or fourth one.
If I'm not out of bed on the first snooze, oh boy, trouble.
And I'm a loser.
Yeah. EJ and Manny, I know, or EJ, you must have trouble with this. Like, are you out on the alarm?
Usually I'm good with the first alarm. I can get up. There's a 10-minute gap between them. Sometimes I have to snooze, but the snooze was 7 minutes, so usually it doesn't make sense to wait that long. I usually get up before then. Or, like, what I do now is I kind of get up and actually end up scrolling on my phone for a little bit before I even leave.
Yeah, I do that, too.
But that's annoying, too, for my wife.
In your bed, scrolling on your phone?
Yeah.
Yes.
But isn't that light waking up your partner?
Don't care.
Maybe. Well, no.
Andrea sleeps the other way.
Andrea sleeps with an eye mask on.
Oh.
Which I suggest for people. I was very against them until I needed to for various things happening in my apartment. And
they're the best.
Yeah, they're great. So So lights, I've never had issue with the lights or anything. Like, I don't turn the light on in the bedroom. That's behavior. But light in the bathroom, yeah.
Here's the good news, guys. A couple more years and you will be able to sleep through anything in any situation. Lights on, lights off, lights flickering, noises, partners coughing, sneezing, having a party next to you. You will be so exhausted from these hours that you will sleep as easily as possible. So there's that. It might only be for 45 minutes, but it'll be you'll be good at sleeping.
How much sleep, we have no idea. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's Rodgers and DK Metcalf. Gentlemen's agreement, handshake. Anyone just going number one after 9:30 p.m., just let it sit.
My dumps were super smooth.
Forgot about that.
I can't believe this whole thing about Aaron Rodgers is in a dorm room right now is pretty amazing. Like, the Steelers still make a guy like Aaron Rodgers. Oh, it's great.
I just can't imagine.
Huge props for that.
How is this better for sleeping? I mean, we all remember being in a dorm.
Getting out of your house.
I guess. I mean, but there's no way, unless guys bring their own mattresses in, which I know they
do.
But, like, you can't just sleep in some crappy dorm room.
But you got to get away from the kids. That could help with your sleep. A lot of these guys have young kids.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I think no distractions. I don't know if I think the team should have a cell phone ban too. Just 9 o'clock, lights out.
Just a darkness retreat for everybody.
Darkness retreat.
Caveman lifestyle.
I do. I mean, this goes back to J.J. Watt at Hard Knocks. Elite athletes are so serious about their sleep. And that's why we're all not in great shape. We only sleep 4 hours a night.
Not our best.
Should meet his brother TJ. He's the man.
He's got headlights.
It took longer than some of us would have liked, but it does appear that the Mets have finally remembered how to be a good team again.
Mauricio 2-for-2 tonight. Swings the next pitch and crushes it deep to right field. Yastrzemski will turn and just watch this one fly. Into McCovey Cove and right, splashdown for Ronnie Mauricio.
That's Pat McCarthy on Mets Radio. Mauricio getting wet to tie Sunday Night Baseball in San Francisco at 3, top 7. Juan Soto went deep a few batters later, and the Mets won 5-3 for a 3-game sweep and a 7-game win streak. Soto knew they'd get back on track.
It's baseball. Things are going to happen. We just got to keep grinding, keep going forward, and forget about what happened in the past.
The Mets lead atop the NL East is a game and a half this morning because the Phillies lost at Yankee Stadium 4-3. Also yesterday
afternoon,
the Tigers finally won again.
The 0-2, line drive, base hit in the left. Green is in, torque being waved around third, and the ball gets by Schneider in left. McKinstry around third, he will score. Dingler clears the bases.
That's Dan Dickerson on Tigers Radio. Those three runs capping off a 7-run eighth. Detroit pulling away for a 10-4 win over the Jays. They had lost 6 straight and 12 of their last 13. The Royals and righty Seth Lugo reportedly agreeing on a 2-year extension worth at least $46 million. There is a $20 million vesting option for a third season. Lugo was one of the best pitchers available ahead of Thursday's deadline. Chargers left tackle Rashawn Slater signing a record extension for O lineman, reportedly guaranteed $92 million over 4 years. And the Cowboys announcing a 4-year extension with tight end Jake Ferguson. He's now guaranteed $30 million. And I'm wondering if EJ thinks Dallas gave him this money to pay for his wedding to whichever Cavender twin he's engaged to, like the Niners paid from the Caffrey Culpo ceremony.
Very possible.
Okay.
Would not surprise me. Get some extra cash before you go on for your
are
wedding.
Are you kidding me?
You know, I just had a thought about something, not to circle back to this Aaron Rodgers thing. So he says he married Brittany with an eye. He's talking about her in this clip with Kyle Brandt. This is the nicest thing he's ever, you know, you could say about a woman in your life, right? Pearl, you're not even sure they actually got really married.
No, I want to see the certificate.
Right. So is this the way to skirt a prenup? If it's just like some union definitely ceremony and it's like some shaman, you know, or a friend or something like that did it, does she have any right if they break up at some point to anything he has? If it was like never, you know, California didn't recognize it or something.
That's why I don't think that there is a real marriage certificate. Like, I think he's like, at this stage of my life, I'm going to sign half my life away. No shot.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. You do the prenup. That's why famous and rich people do that.
Right. But I mean, this is almost better because now there really are literally no strings attached. I mean, with prenup, you're not saying I can walk away with nothing. Usually there's something you got to give up.
Okay. But here's the other thing. You don't know if they do break up. Not that I'm wishing this on anything. We're just talking about reality here. And Rodgers is a finicky dude. At least that's what he presents publicly. Attached to nothing, open to everything, whatever his philosophy he always says on McAfee. All you need is a sympathetic judge to be like, no, I actually think you did have some kind of ceremony, union thing. She is entitled to XYZ. Maybe it's not everything. It's not 50, but something.
I think it'd be easier for him to fight that, though, if there was no agreement. If there's no kids involved, like, once the kids get involved, that's when it becomes very harrowing, so to speak. But I don't know. If you have nothing signed, it's like having a girlfriend or boyfriend.
Do you think Brittany with an eye hangs out with Joe Burrow's employee/girlfriend? Those two situations definitely mystify me. What's her name?
Joe Burrow.
Olivia.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bonton,
yeah.
Oh, right. She has some modeling experience.
Yes.
I'm Joe.
Yeah.
So what does she get? Workers' comp? Is that
two.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
2 weeks paid vacation.
What union is that?
She just has to take it with him.
we know that Terry Bradshaw, Aaron Rodgers was not mad at him because he does chew on bark and talk to the gods. Yeah. Like, that was an accurate depiction of who Aaron Rodgers is.
It can't be slander if it's true.
Rodgers didn't seem to mind. He's like, yes, I do.
He did say he does whisper to the gods.
He definitely has chewed on bark. I mean, is there any doubt about that? Because you're right, a shaman probably married them. And I don't know. Now you're getting into a weird territory. Would a judge uphold a shaman's?
What does AI overview say? I don't know.
Something that's definitely inaccurate.
WNBA last night, Brittany Griner scored a season-high 22. The Dream gave the Lynx their first home loss of the season, 90-86. And Bubba Wallace won NASCAR's Brickyard 400, becoming the first black driver to win a major race at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It also ended his 100-race winless drought. Back to you guys.
All right, quick AI overview here. Is being married by a shaman legit? What I put in my search. It was just a quick.
Yeah.
Native American traditions, in some cases, according to AI overview, religious leaders from Native American traditions, including shamans or medicine men, can be recognized as authorized marriage officiants, and their religion is considered a recognized denomination, and their role permits within the tradition and relevant jurisdiction. So,
well, yeah, I mean, you can have anybody can get a certificate saying they're clergy and marry you. But the question is, if there's no like piece of paper, does it count?
I'm not
like sure. You guys have had friends who've officiated weddings.
Yeah,
before,
you can get
right?
Like a 24-hour like ordained online type.
Yeah,
of thing.
That kind of thing. You should be the back of Rolling Stone magazine. Mm. So there's no doubt a shaman can do it, but you have to follow through with the legal work. No.
Well, that's what I think this is saying. I think it's saying that yes, that could be just considered legal.
That's not what I heard.
But I heard religion.
Oh. Yeah,
I heard a lot of religion in there. I assume that means the religion would, like, I guess if you're.
Yeah, that's
talking
a good
about
point.
Like what is the commitment you're making to each other? I assume the religion would then acknowledge that. I don't know if the law would though.
Yeah,
the
so government. I found just generally speaking, a commitment ceremony is a non-legal wedding. So you can say all the things you want, you can profess your love, you can mean every last word of it, but there's no license, no certificate, no government acknowledgement. So when you break up, I would think
she's entitled to nothing.
Maybe.
Well, maybe they'll just be together forever.
Hope so. I wish them well.
Talking about Brittany with an I. Sorry, Bogues. What else we got?
That's it. I'm done.
Fantastic. So we have the M&P 500 coming your way this morning. Whose stock is up? Whose stock is down after a huge weekend? We also have some predictions to make. What would a successful season look like for the following NFL teams? We'll tell you about that next, M&P.
There's actually a couple Dolphins out there. I might need to get out there.
Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. We've been working our way through the NFL, Pearl asking, what would a successful season look like for blank? And we've been doing four teams at a time. So EJ has got a new fresh batch for us today. Good morning, EJ.
Good morning, guys. And let's head out to Carolina. A successful season for the Carolina Panthers will be...
I'll take this one first. So Carolina Panthers won 5 games last year, but I'm not going to actually go to a win total. The successful season is Bryce Young looks like a top 15 quarterback. That's it. That's all. I have no expectations for winning, for being 500, for making the playoffs. I still think the Panthers, to me, Dave Canales, the head coach, and Bryce Young is the quarterback, them being a successful pair, and Bryce is a number one overall pick and a highly touted one, at that, be a top 15 quarterback in the league, which I don't think he is right now.
I think the Panthers are going to challenge for the playoffs, for real.
Whoa.
I think they're going to be 8 or 9 wins, which will get you into the mix in the NFC South. I think anything short of 8 wins or... No, I'll say anything short of 9 wins will be a disappointment. I think they're ready to go. I think they're coming. In NFC South terms, coming means you're going to be right there with Atlanta and Tampa Bay, right around 500 in week 18. I think anything short of that, if they have 5 wins again, for example, that would be a huge letdown. I think they got to at least challenge for the playoffs.
All right, let's head to Houston. A successful season for the Houston Texans would be?
AFC title game. They have still on the C.J. Stroud rookie contract, so they have been building talent around him. D'Amico Ryans has got to get that defense to be 1, 2, or 3 in the league. And then they got rid of their offensive coordinator, brought in a new guy. I think there is nothing stopping Houston from having full-on high expectations. They need to not only get to the playoffs, but win games there.
I'm So I'm in lockstep about AFC Championship game, and I'm also going to take it a step further. I think the Texans have to start being that team that's being talked about with the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Ravens. If we really think this is going to happen for them, while it doesn't necessarily have to happen while Stroud's in his window, but you know, we're talking about the Texans. You have these great young quarterback, a really exciting coach, but I think more people would put either the Chargers or the Bengals as that team, and the Bengals have been in that mix in the past, who are right there with the Ravens, the Bills, and the Kansas City Chiefs. But that's where I feel like the expectation should be for success, is that they're one of those perennial teams that is challenging, that you feel like could go on the road and could even win one of these playoff games, and right now they're not doing that.
Well, I would say, though, that C.J. Stroud's still 23. The winning window for Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson,
it's going to start closing soon.
Well, no, they started winning at that level in the playoffs in 26, 27, not 23, 24. I mean, Lamar definitely didn't win. When did Josh Allen really start to become a threat? Was he 23? I think that he took a little while, too.
Well, year one of the playoffs, they actually had a very famous loss to Deshaun Watson in the Houston Texans, where they had a lead and blew it. And then after that, I think they were in that mix. They got Stephon Diggs, and it was a rocket ship. So
I think you got to give him a little more time. Because what was the 13 seconds game? That was 21. Yeah. Anyway, he was a little bit older than 23. I think Stroud has more time. I think you're putting, you know, if he can't break in with the Chiefs this year, it's still a good trajectory.
Let's stay in the AFC. Let's go to Miami. A successful season for the Miami Dolphins would be
win a playoff game. I mean, we're not asking for much.
Dolphins out there. I might need to get out there.
We're not asking for much here.
A playoff game?
I mean, that's what success not much for would look like. I can't just do another 9-8. You know, this is everyone's butt on the hot seat right now. McDaniels, Tua, Tyreek Hill. This is it, guys. Like, this is, you know, you're staring down. This will be the end of your era in the Miami Dolphins. I truly believe that, even though they've committed a lot of money to Tua. I understand that. But I don't love the way it sounds coming out of camp. And, you know, Tyreek Hill's on the other side of 30. So, and I think Mike McDaniel's wearing out the welcome.
So you're saying kooky, win a playoff
kooky
game.
Kooky is fun when you're winning. Kooky's not fun when you're not winning. And he's kind of a kooky dude.
If they make the playoffs, that is successful. They haven't won a playoff game since 2000. Now the expectations are win or you're done. I think the expectations are so low on this team. For them to get in the playoffs in the AFC, I think would be very impressive.
All right. So final one. Let's go to Green Bay, title town. A successful season for the Green Bay Packers would be...
Oh, this is tough. I will go...
Say it, Pearl. Just say it.
NFC title game would be fine. Well, I think because they haven't really gotten there with Jordan Love. They should have gotten there. They should have been in San Francisco. Again, I believe in steps. There's just no way in this NFC. The NFC is so loaded this year. To say they are Super Bowl or bust team does not work for me.
I think it's Super Bowl. I mean, we've been dancing around it here, right? Long enough. Jordan Love looks like, if he doesn't get hurt, you know, looks like he's got all the tools. You know, the receiving core was young, but now they're not so, you know, now they're stepping into more of their prime. The defense is good. People love LaFleur. They think he's a great coach. Yeah, it's a really tough division, but we put the Lions as Super Bowl or bust, and they're also in that tough division. So Lions had 15 wins. Vikings had 14. Green Bay had 11 last year with Malik Willis starting, what, 3 games last year? Maybe more? I got to double check that. The Bears are going to be better, I agree, but I think Packers are a Super Bowl team. That would be the successful season.
Wow. I think that's way too rich for the Packers. I don't think that this year we're looking at them after coming off last year where they did make the playoffs, but they puttered into the playoffs. To say that Super Bowl, like, you're not saying Super Bowl or bust.
I'm saying that would be successful because you think about it, 2 years ago, they're a wagon. They go into Dallas. Yeah. They do that. What you said about San Francisco, they should have won that game in the divisional round.
They weren't coming into the playoffs as a wagon, though. They just played way over their head in the playoffs.
I know, but then you think, all right, what's the next logical step?
Right.
And they went back to the playoffs, and they lost that brutal game to your Eagles. So.
But I think they took a major step back last year. Like, they were not, they were definitely the... a considerable third in that division last year.
And because of Love's injury.
I don't know if it was just Love's injury. There was a lot going on. I didn't think that overall their team was that scary last year. Now, so I think if they get back to the NFC title game, then they're back on that championship caliber. Like, for example, picks are coming up. I do not expect to hear a lot of Packers. Last year, there was a ton of Packers, including I think I picked the Packers. I just think that the expectations have cooled on them, and their odds are a little bit further down the list. like Lions feel like Super Bowl bust, even though there's a lot of negative news coming out of Detroit. But the Packers, to me, are definitely a notch below that.
All right, there you go. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Yeah, EJ, go ahead.
With the Packers, I think, you know, outside of the playoffs, and I know that's important, I also think a successful season is winning the division. The Lions appear to have some instability with their defense and the coaching staff, and the Vikings are playing essentially a rookie quarterback, right. A guy in his second year, a guy who did not play and was injured all season. Packers have been kind of flirting around that, like, wild card for years now. I think if you want to see them take a step up.
Packers won that division a million times with Rodgers, and it didn't help in the playoffs at all.
But I mean, with this unit, though, this core, I don't want to see a team that's, you know, 5-4 at week 8. Like, to me, like, there's nothing serious about a team that's trying to win a championship that's, you know, farting around midseason. Like, if you're serious, you're taking care of business earlier on in the season. So to me, like, if I'm going to have the belief that the Packers can win a championship, it's going to be them winning 12, 13 games. And I think winning a division title, at the very least, really competing for a title. They haven't come close the last 2 years.
Well, 2019, 2020, and 2021, they won the division, won 13 games each year, and completely fell apart in the playoffs. So I feel Packers fans are worried that we're going to be good in the playoffs, and it's not going to translate. We're going to be good in the regular season, and it won't translate. Then they come in with Jordan Love and don't play that well in the regular season. And look really good in the playoffs. So I'm not sure. I think that fan base is very dubious of getting the number one seed after the Rodgers experience.
Right, but you just said watching them play last year that nothing felt right. Nothing felt like them being a Super Bowl team, and I agree. I said that during the season. I was like, there's no way this team's a contender, even when they started going on that late push, because to me it's almost like, you know, the guy that, like, you know, farts around in class, but then, like, crashes at the last minute to make sure they get the A on the test so they can, you know, not fail. Like, that's who the Packers have been the last 2 years to me. Teams with a lot of talent, but have not taken the regular season as seriously as they should, and it puts them behind eight ball. And guess what? Then you got to go to Philly. Then you got to go to San Francisco. You don't want to have to go to those places and win those games. Those are very difficult situations.
But they haven't won anything in Lambeau. They keep getting beat there in the playoffs.
Well, give Jordan Love a chance.
Yeah, that's ancient history. That's Rodgers. That's a long time ago.
I mean,
Jordan
honestly,
Love has not had a home playoff game.
The best they've looked in the playoffs in a long time was when they were 9-8 2 years ago. That's like, oh my God, they're totally stepping up in the playoffs, because I saw it time in and time out. They let their fan base down in the postseason despite winning all the regular season games.
Tough schedule for the Packers. Yeah. Not just your own division, obviously, but they play the NFC East and they play the AFC North. So you're getting Commanders, you're getting obviously you're getting Cowboys, Eagles reigning Super Bowl champs. They also have going to Denver.
By the way, you forgot the Bears when you were talking about the NFC North. Yeah. Like, you can't take them lightly anymore at all. They've loaded up around Caleb Williams. I mean, I guess Caleb does not look great in camp, but you're right, Maggie. Like, it's going to be hard to accumulate 13 wins in that division.
Which, you know what, might be kind of, I don't say better or worse.
Definitely
but
better.
I was going to say, like, maybe, not that they weren't battle-tested. They have been battle-tested. Yeah. It's just, you know, see if you can go. First of all, they also allowed some teams to come in and beat them in Lambeau last year, which
during
the regular season, that's not what you want.
You started off by mentioning Jordan Love's injury. That threw everything into a bit of a wrench. It felt like EJ mentioned a late push. It took a long time to get settled after that. So, but Super Bowl or bust, I don't feel that for this team. I'm curious if we put up a poll.
Not Super Bowl or bust, but successful would be the Super Bowl. Can I just tell you, though, once the schedule gets to December, this is not a schedule that is great for a late season push. You're home Chicago, at Denver, then at Chicago, then Baltimore, then at Minnesota. Like, these, you know, I don't know what Minnesota's going
to
be.
Yeah, that week 18 at Minnesota feels like a good time, good place to be.
That's maybe.
That's typically when the Vikings start imploding completely.
Or J.J. McCarthy is, you know, the next huge thing. I don't know. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Coming up, we've been doing this at 8 o'clock Eastern for the last couple days. One big question about every quarterback room in the NFL. Today, we take on who else? Dak Prescott and the Cowboys.